listening to WCNO Palm City.
Okay. Now, I would like to say this about the word meek. I remember Pat Robertson teaching this. He said, a meek horse is not a weak horse. A meek horse can be a mighty Clydesdale, but a meek horse is one where the master will say, move to the left, will whisper, and it's power under authority, and the horse will do what its master says. So meek does not necessarily mean weak, but it means surrendering power to your master.
Yeah, Chuck Swindoll gave me a translation, power under strength. But I think this, in the context of what we're reading here, I think Aristotle's is, for me, the best understanding is I'm dealing with issues. I can't do it on my own. I'm mourning the effects of sin in my life. And suddenly I get angry at sin. I decide I'm going to do something about it, okay? The next line says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Now, this hunger and thirst are these two words, penao and desao, which means to crave ardently, to seek with eager desire the things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. And what are we hungering and thirsting after? Well, it's diakosine, it's integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking and feeling. So recognizing our own spiritual brokenness and mourning the effects of sin in our lives with a sudden anger at sin and a desire for change, now we're seeking God and His ways of thinking and His ways of acting at a very basic human level. We're hungry and thirsty. And we realize only God has the solutions to our life problems. The next line says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And this word is eleemon, kindness and goodwill toward those afflicted by sin and indicating a desire to help. So if we have personally felt the effects of sin and were sorry and angered by it, we now realize that those around us, they're basically in the same boat that we're in. They're dealing with their own issues. And before, maybe we pointed our fingers and were judgmental toward them, but now we realize they're just like us. So we can't be judgmental anymore. We're merciful. We're compassionate. We have empathy. We're no longer looking at them with why can't you get it together? Because we realize we don't have it together. We become merciful, and that is a huge change. The next line is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. As a result of this process of us recognizing our own spiritual helplessness and our sorrow for sin and our anger at the effects of sin, combined with this desire to lead a righteous life and having compassion for those around us that are caught up in their own sin, in this process, we are being transformed. This word, pure of heart, is karthos kardia. It means a purification by fire, or it means also the condition of a vine that has been pruned and ready to bear fruit. It's a beautiful phrase, because this is the process that's happening. Our heart is being purified. We're being pruned. We're getting ready to bear some fruit. And this goes along with what Paul is saying, one of the great themes of the Christian scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And the new creature is this word, kanos kistis. It literally means a previously unseen biological creation that comes from God Himself. This is the born-again experience. This is the spiritual birth from above. Suddenly there's a new process, a new creature is present in us and literally trying to break out of our old natural self and become the child of God that we are destined to be, see? And here's the beauty. All world religions are a process saying, make yourself acceptable to the deity and He will accept you by your good works, by your words. Some cults think it's by the color of the clothes you wear, by how much you meditate, the things that you do. But Christianity is completely different than world religions. Christianity says God loves you and He's pursuing you, And all you have to do is stop and receive his love and his sacrifice, the blood sacrifice for the sins and the separation. Now you're connected with God, and he puts his Holy Spirit inside you. And this whole process begins that is completely different than mankind trying to make himself acceptable to God.
Right. Many religions say you must die for God and give up and sacrifice your life. Whereas Jesus, the only one, comes along and says, no. I came, I died for you. All you need to do is accept my gift of relationship that we will have eternally should you surrender. But I give you free will. You can reject me or choose me, because that's the only way you can. It's like, Mike, if we had a dictator in the United States of America and he says, Mike Bagley, you've got to be friends with Rhett Palmer. Okay, but does that mean we're really friends? Whereas if we meet each other and we choose to be friends, we have free will, then we're really friends. So you can either choose to reject Jesus or choose to accept him.
Right. And so this whole process of transformation in Scripture is defined as, well, let me just read this incredible passage out of Philippians chapter 2, where Paul is saying, so then, my dear friends, just as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, continue working out your salvation with awe and reverence, for the one bringing forth in you both the desire and the effort for the sake of his good pleasure is God. So see, it's God that is bringing forth the desire to make these changes, and then he's given you the power to actually do it. I'll give you a personal example in my own life.
Okay.
I'm married to a Japanese girl, born in Honolulu, raised in a Hawaiian-Japanese culture. I have friends that are married to Asian women, and it seems we all have the same issue, us Howleys, us Caucasians.
Yes.
That we speak in a different manner, that our tone of voice is different. And in Asian culture, that's often considered harsh and disrespectful and not kind.
What is?
Speaking in a normal tone of that I'm speaking to you now. And if there's something urgent, like I say, Laura, please get in the car because something's happening. Speaking urgently to my wife comes across to her as unkindness and sometimes anger. And so for many years...
My wife, the same thing.
Is she Asian?
No. But she, I tell you what, you know, Jerry Seinfeld, I went to see Jerry Seinfeld when we first met, and she'd been saying, your tone, to Barbara, to me, Barbara, your tone. Well, anyway, we go down South Florida, and we go to see Jerry Seinfeld, and he gets up and he goes, you know, he said, I waited till I was 50 to get married. I waited all my life to get married. But he says, you know, now I can't talk like this in my own home. I can't even speak like this because she says, it's your tone. We started laughing.
Well, maybe it's probably a female thing. But what I noticed in at least in Japanese culture.
Yeah.
My wife was being withered by the words that I spoke. And the manner in which, and I could just watch her wither.
Ooh.
And for a number of years, I just said, come on, this is the way I am. Just get over it. Because even in our discussions, I'm a person that likes to have a discussion. And when in the middle of exchanging thoughts, I will very naturally challenge her and her thinking, which is a normal back and forth polemic of normal conversation. But in her culture, it's very withering, and it's when interruptions are disrespectful. And I found myself sort of justifying my behavior.
Are you sure you don't have a microphone in my automobile you've been listening in?
But I found that it was causing great disruption in our relationship.
Well, I'd like to add this, though, and I'll send this to you later today. We can post in the future. I've just done a whole study on the gentleness. Okay, it says in Samuel, thy gentleness hath made thee great. It's written in Psalms, thy gentleness hath made thee great. And a soft answer turneth away wrath. Anyway, I've got a list of about 12 of these scriptures. Realizing late in life that a gentle, well, even the Bible says in a woman, a gentle and tender spirit is of great value in the eyes of God. But I'm also thinking, you know, we've had a lot of people on radio and TV who have been yellers. And I think we're coming into a new wave. And that wave is one of gentleness. I think at least working with me, he's been, you know.
Right, right. And well, the point, I think, for me was I didn't really want to change. I didn't want to change.
No, and I'm dramatic.
Well, I found I was caught up in my habitual behavior. This is the way I am. And so I prayed, Lord, please help me change my language. Please help me change my attitude. Okay, because I didn't even have the desire, Rhett. And over the next few weeks, I had a great desire suddenly that appeared in my life that I should be very mindful of the words that come out of my mouth to my wife.
Did your children, because you're known as Poppy, and it's with a very friend, and you seem to be a very gentle man. I'm attracted to that as a friend with you.
Well, you're catching a later version of me.
So would your children agree that maybe you were a little harsh of nature and dramatic when you were younger?
Well, I think the point of me confessing this is I didn't have a desire to change.
Mm-hmm.
I told my wife, get used to it. This is the way I am. And I saw withering and I saw just it wasn't good. And so I asked God to change my heart. This is what this verse says, that he is the one bringing forth the desire. Okay. First of all, the desire to change and the power or the effort to actually do it. Mm. So first I had to have the desire. Now, I've applied this principle to many other areas of my life since then, because suddenly the desire to be more gentle in my language with my wife appeared. This is after many years of marriage, I would say probably 20 years of marriage.
Wow.
And the desire suddenly appeared. And then, by golly, I was able to catch the words before they left my lips and stop them, pause for a second or two, and replace them with a much softer tone, a more gentle tone, a pause without interruptions, and a listening tone.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon. Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
I was lost and could not see, but you did not give up on me to save me from my guilt and shame. You stepped into the world you made, and on the cross of Calvary, you gave your life to set me free. Forever heart full of praise. The King of glory once enthroned was laid to rest behind the stone, but death would not have final say. Jesus.